Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. Continuing my time with Gwen Riley and Todd Johns with Revive Lifehouse. They have two men's recovery locations, one in Nicholasville and in Lexington, Kentucky. Go check them out at revivelifehouse.org. You'll just be blessed if you missed our first two programs with them this week. Go check those out at hopeishere.today. Today we're going to talk about some testimonials, some life change, some hope stories with some people, and you guys can help a little bit over 100 men now at your different locations in Nicholasville and Lexington. But obviously a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of people, financial support. It takes a lot to make it happen, but The fruit, as we were talking about in the first program, is a beautiful thing. Can you share a couple of testimonials with us, Todd?
Yeah, love to. I think of one particular, Greg, where we had a guy come in, and he was in within his first 30 days, and this guy, he was kind of a hometown boy, grew up in the area, and through his life of running the streets and addiction, you know, unfortunately made a bad name for himself, and he was kind of one of these guys that everybody knew everybody. He knew everybody and everybody knew him, law enforcement and otherwise, right? Been in and out of jail a lot of times throughout his life. But he found himself at the Revive Lifehouse. And this gentleman had a real encounter with Jesus within the first couple weeks of being with us. I think he would say that he was overwhelmed with a sense of love and gratitude that people showed him when he came in, something he had never experienced before, this radical kind of unconditional love, no judgment, no strings attached. We're just going to kind of love you back to life, and really made an impact in his life. And so he gets introduced to the love of Jesus and begins to track. And must have been about maybe into his third week of being with us there in the first 30 days. And I just remember this as plain as day. There was kind of the knock at the door, and there was the sheriff. And they were in the middle of a group, and the group got interrupted, and they needed to kind of call him out and have a word with him. And they were saying, hey, you know, you had some active warrants. We need to kind of take you away. And this was actually right on a Friday, I believe it was, and just heading into the weekend. And so he said, you know, the guy who came to pick him up, the sheriff, knew him personally from previous run-ins and knew of him. And he said, hey, you know, can take a minute. Let me just tell the guys I'll be back. Can we have a quick word of prayer? And the sheriff's like, yeah, I guess this is just weird, you know. Yeah, this is not the same old guy. And so they head off to have prayer. And he gets taken off to jail. Well, while he was sitting in cell and was in community cell there, he said he was just sitting there and he was having all kind of thoughts, of course, running through his mind and his heart. And he was seeing people there that he had previously run in with, and there was one guy there particularly that he had, you know, had gotten into, you know, physical altercation with last time he was in jail. And there's just all this stuff. But he said he just felt the power and the presence of God come on him. He said, and I couldn't explain it other than he said, my legs begin to get just like on fire. And he said, I just knew that something was rising up in me, later known that was God, rising up in me to just testify to what God had did in my life. And so he did that. He got up and he just started talking to anybody and anybody who would listen, and just said, hey, can I tell you something? You know, you know, this is who I was, but this is who I am now. And this is what God has done in my life. And I'm at this program, and I got pulled in here, and he just began to testify to the love and the power of Jesus in his life. And he said this went on for, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour. He even rectified and reconciled with the guy that he was in a physical altercation with last time they were in. He went up and apologized and made amends. Wow. And within that 45 minutes to maybe an hour and a half time frame, the jailer come back and opened the door and called his name and said, hey, you're good to go. And this guy was like blown away, because it was the weekend. He was for sure he wasn't getting out till Monday, you know, Tuesday at best, till he get the pretrial. And the jailer come and said, nope, you're a free man. You're free to go. We're going to get you back to the program. And everything was taken care of. And so the very next morning, that we had like a little men's breakfast gathering at one of the churches, and had a friend there speaking that morning. And I remember, I didn't know about any of this until the next morning. I remember walking in and seeing this gentleman sitting there at the table. I'm like, so surprised. It was like a Paul and Silas type moment. Like, he's out of jail. What is going on? And he's giving big hugs and he's telling everybody this awesome story of how God just really showed up and showed out in his life as he just kind of shared the love of Jesus and what God was doing in his life and testified to it. So that's always stuck in my mind, of just how the grace of God was in his life to help him through that season, and such an encouragement to him during that time that spoke volumes. And I just remember that. So,
well, and you know, people say, oh, the Bible's written over 2,000 years ago. I can't really relate today, but as you just shared, I was thinking the Paul and Silas story too of that. And so God is still moving in people's lives today, and that's why I wanted Todd to share that story. And you know, Gwen, for you as a you know, all these guys that go into this program, I mean, you're a mom, you have a son, it's got to be really just a beautiful thing to see the healing that goes on in some of these men's lives.
It is. It's just to be a part of it, to see it. It's something I can't explain or describe. So when we first got involved in the ministry, I really just asked God, why am I here? I have no connection. Why do you put this burden on my heart for drugs and for recovery? And I don't have any connection to it. I don't understand it. And then over time, I started to understand why I was a part of it. And it's because I didn't have a connection to it. I didn't have any hurt. I didn't have any pain that had ever been caused from addiction. So when I meet every one of these guys, all I can say is, hi, I'm Gwen. Nice to meet you, my brother in Christ. You know, because that's who they are. It's their name, and all they are is a brother. They're a brother to me. They're not an addict. I, you know, I don't understand. I don't know what that means. So it's and I think it's nice for them to see that this is the new them. This is how they can be seen. This is how people will see them. Just get to the other side. See what Jesus can bring you through and get to the other side. And that's what's so amazing, to just do life with these guys. I don't know anything about counseling. I don't know anything about that. But what I do know is I know how to sit down and eat dinner with somebody. I know how to have a conversation. I know how to go to church with people. I know what it's like to have kids. And these guys have kids. We can have those conversations. And it's about just doing life. And that's, you know, so if you think you don't have any connection, well, can you do life? Because that's what we need. We need men to come in and mentor and volunteer and just share what it's like. How do you be a man? These guys don't know how to be men. That's one of the things that came out of one of the jobs for life. One night Todd and I were there, and that came up. These guys didn't know how to be men. They didn't know how to do the things that they needed to do to be that person, that strong person. And it was just eye-opening that they had never seen that example. And so if you can do that, if you could pour into these guys, be that for them, just have a conversation, have a meal, that means so much.
Let's talk about that. You know, people are listening over the past 3 days. They're like, man, how do I get involved? When sharing? Okay, I don't have to have experience with addiction. You know, I don't know how to counsel, whatever. Todd, how can people get involved with the Revive?
Yeah, I so appreciate that answer, Gwen, because I think what it really speaks to is that these men, these guys, they're human, you know, and they're just like anybody else. They have addiction, they have a struggle, absolutely, but to not to be labeled, you know, as an addict, or have that label and carry that stigma, and so we need people just to treat them as normal human beings, as people who are looking to get healthy and whole with our program. So, Greg, there. I think the first and foremost, that one of the greatest needs that we have, and one of the dreams that I have to still see really come to be within this program, is that every man that would come through this program would actually have someone discipling them, would have somebody mentoring them, and giving back into their life. And so, I have a dream to see that happen for every guy that comes through our door, whether it's he's only with us for 30 days or he's with us for the full 7 months or somewhere in between. But it's the importance of that relationship, like Gwen was saying, just to say, hey, you matter. We care and you matter. And I can have lunch with you. I can sit down and talk with you. Maybe you have a gift in, you know, in coaching or a finance or, you know, just maybe just that. Any old trade or skill that you have, you could share that. And just being with them, I don't even know that you have to give anything like that. It's just the fact that you're going to sit down and give somebody the gift of your time speaks volumes to these men. So I think that would be one thing that we're looking at doing with some others, some men who are very interested in getting a formalized program together where we can actually pair up kind of mentor-mentee type thing and discipleship program. So that's in the works. So you men out there would love to have you join us in that. And there are some other group activities for women and small groups to be involved. We have a few facilities now that could always use some help in. There's opportunities for churches to come in and do dinners or lunches. We always found that the dinner seems to go well. You can come in and help cook a meal and just spend some time with our guys. So yeah, there's lots of opportunity there to be involved that way.
Well, and I think all of us, we like to, you know, just somebody to listen. I mean, you know, I think some people are listening and go, man, I don't know if I got any wisdom. You know, like Gwen said, well, I don't have any counseling experience. I've not suffered from addiction, but just from the few times that I've done something like that, just listening to somebody is huge, isn't it?
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, just listening, just being there. Saying you matter. You know, I've heard someone once say, I think it was Dr. John Perkins, he said, you don't give someone dignity, you affirm their dignity.
Mm.
And that always just stuck with me, and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. And I know from talking to guys that have been in recovery programs, like I know there's one guy would come every week, you know, spend about an hour and a half with a guy and hang out, have dinner, and just listen and stuff. And this guy told me it was the highlight of his week.
Wow.
Because he knew that he was getting one-on-one attention and somebody just listening.
Yep.
And I know there's some retired guys out there, some retired men saying, how do I make a difference with my one and only life? And, you know, obviously it's great when you can write a check or whatever. But, man, if you've got time and a listening ear, that could be a huge blessing to somebody in revised program, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned the money thing. Of course, as a nonprofit, like any nonprofit, we're always in need of financial support and donations, and those are always welcomed. But I think one of the things that I like to think about in regard to time, talent, treasures is a person's heart. And I think that if you would want to be involved with us, just coming and seeing what we're about, getting a tour of the facility and getting on premise, and then spending some time one-on-one with a guy, I believe those other things like resources will follow. But it's a matter of where's your heart and how would you like to give back.
All right. Well, we're going to do one more program with Gwen and Todd. We want to share a little bit more about the Revive program, but also more about how you get involved and then also careers. Obviously, you know, it's one thing to get healing, but then these guys need jobs. And I know a lot of people that have businesses that listen to this program. So, man, I want to make sure you tune in tomorrow as we're going to continue our conversation and focus on what happens a little bit after the guys get out of the program and how maybe you could be a part of that with a job opportunity for some of these guys. So tune in tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Gwen Riley and Todd Johns. They're with Revive Lifehouse. Go check out their website, revivelifehouse.org. That's revivelifehouse.org. And join us again tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.